Hello and welcome to Keep the Bastards Honest, the podcast of the Australian Democrats. I'm your host, Alana Mitchell, and on this episode, we're answering the question, just what is a referendum? If you were born after 1981, then you've never voted in a referendum in Australia, and you're perfectly entitled to wonder what on earth a referendum is and what it has to do with you. And if you were born before 1981, it's been more than 20 years since you last had to vote in a referendum, and you're quite entitled to be in need of a refresher on what's involved. So we're going to do an explainer episode on it. This episode was recorded on Whadjuk country, which is the lands of the Noongar people. I pay my respects to their elders past and present. Sovereignty never ceded. The first thing I have to stress is that a referendum shouldn't be a big deal. Because we haven't had one for a while, it probably feels like a big deal. But we're really just being asked a question with a simple yes or no response. And here's why. In Australia, we must hold a referendum if we want to make changes to Australia's constitution. That wasn't decided by our parliament or our government. The constitution itself specifies the rules and the process for making amendments to it. The key rule that the constitution lays out for amending itself is that if you want to change the constitution, you have to consult the Australian people before you can do it. The constitution cannot be changed by our parliament or our government without running it past the people first, which is perfectly reasonable. There's a whole process to go through before a referendum can be held. The government of the day has to pass a bill, a proposed law, into parliament first. The referendum bill is what's called enabling legislation. Legislation that enables the referendum to take place. To pass a referendum bill, an absolute majority is required. An absolute majority means that more than half of the members of the House of Representatives and more than half of the Senate votes in favour of it. So that's step one. Now, you're probably wondering what happens if the bill doesn't pass. The Constitution has this covered as well. Section 128 of the Constitution has a clause in it that says if the government puts the enabling legislation to a vote and it fails to pass twice within 3 months, then the Governor General can give the go-ahead to hold the referendum. This is kind of a break glass in case of emergency situation for amending the Constitution. The Parliament can't change the Constitution without consulting us, but it also can't prevent us from being asked about a proposed amendment either. Once the enabling legislation is passed, arguments for and against the proposal have to be drawn up. Members of Parliament who voted in support of the enabling legislation prepare the yes case, and the members who voted against the enabling legislation prepare the no case. Once the arguments are prepared, the Australian Electoral Commission publishes both of them, along with a proposed change to the Constitution, and sends this to all Australian households to review. You should have received something in the mail by now. It's important to remember that the AEC is completely neutral about this. They publish the arguments exactly as they are written, and they have no official position about the referendum beyond their responsibility in administering the vote. The process of voting is essentially the same as a federal election. An election date is selected, writs are issued, and the AEC is deployed to manage the election. Electors, which is us, can arrange a postal vote or vote in pre-poll if they can't make it on election day. Otherwise, you can rock up to a polling station on election day, cast your vote in the referendum, and get your democracy sausage the same as you would in a federal election. The big difference between a federal election and a referendum is that your vote isn't going to help determine which political party forms government. Instead, it's going to help determine whether or not we make a change to our constitution. So the result of a referendum is a bit different to an election. In a federal election, you vote for who will represent your electorate in the federal parliament. And then the government is determined by how many electorates or seats each party wins across the nation, the party that wins the most seats forming government. So in a federal election, your vote only counts within your electorate. And to keep this simple, I'm leaving the Senate out of it. But in a referendum, your vote counts as part of the result for the state or territory that you live in, not just your electorate. In order for a referendum to pass, that is, for Australians to agree to change the Constitution, we need what's called a double majority. See, while the Constitution was designed to be amended, the men, and it was all men, that wrote the Constitution made sure it wasn't easy. So we can change the Constitution, but we need to really want to do it. The authors of the Constitution made sure that there would be no changing it on a whim. So the first hurdle to overcome in changing the Constitution is that we need a nationwide majority of voters. More than 50% of eligible voters across the country have to vote yes. And that makes sense, right? We're a democracy. The majority rules. Now, remember I said we needed a double majority. Well, that's majority number one. Majority number two requires 4 out of the 6 states to also vote yes. And it's 4 out of 6 because you need a majority. 3 out of 6 is 50-50, not a majority, so it doesn't count. So as well as the country as a whole voting yes, the populations of at least 4 states out of Western Australia, South Australia, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, and Tasmania also need to vote yes. And that's a bit trickier to achieve. Now, you've probably picked up on the fact that I've not mentioned the Northern Territory or the Australian Capital Territory, the ACT, in all of this. And the reason for that is that the territories don't get counted in the double majority because they're not states. And the rules in the Constitution for a referendum say 4 out of 6 states. The Australian citizens living in the Northern Territory and the ACT get to vote in the referendum, but their votes only count toward majority number one, the nationwide majority. They don't count toward majority number two, the state-based majority, which, let's face it, is a bit undemocratic, but that's the rules of a referendum. Now, if we wanted to change that and include the territories in majority number two and make it properly democratic, guess what we'd need to do? Yeah, we'd need to hold a referendum. Because remember what I said earlier, the rules for how you change the Constitution are outlined in the Constitution. And if you want to change the rules, you have to change the Constitution. And if you want to change the Constitution, yeah, you get it. So because of this, because a portion of our population's vote doesn't count toward the second majority, it's possible that the first majority is reached in that the majority of the population votes yes in the referendum, but that the second state-specific majority is not reached. And if that happens, the referendum fails and we don't change the Constitution. So regardless of what the referendum question is, this is not something that we as a country undertake lightly. Since Federation in 1901, we've held 44 referendums on a variety of different topics. Only 8 of them have passed. Hopefully this one will be the 9th. That's the mechanics of how a referendum is held. One question I got asked when I was putting all this together is why we couldn't hold a plebiscite instead, since the plebiscite on same-sex marriage worked out okay. And that is a great question. The answer is that if you want to ask the nation to vote on an issue or a question that doesn't impact the Constitution, that will not change the Constitution, then a plebiscite is the way to go. A plebiscite allows a government to test how much public support they have for a particular issue, like, I don't know, marriage equality. Or in 1916 and then in 1917, whether the country supported conscription in World War I. Happily, both times we voted against making it mandatory to send civilians off to fight in a war. A plebiscite has no legal force, and there are no rules about how to run one in the Constitution. If a government decides to run a plebiscite, the Parliament gets to decide how it will work. A government could ignore the results of a plebiscite if they wanted to, but let's face it, any government who asks the nation how they feel about something and then ignores the result probably won't be in government at the next election. So while it's possible, it's unlikely. So here's a fun fact for you. Technically, the plebiscite we had on marriage equality wasn't a plebiscite. It's officially categorised as a postal survey. It was inspired by the referendum that Ireland undertook about marriage equality, since Ireland had to change their constitution to allow same-sex marriage, which, happily for the Irish, passed. Australia's Parliament didn't need to ask us about amending the Marriage Act to allow marriage equality. They could have just legislated it as normal. Because that's what they did in 2004 to explicitly exclude same-sex couples in the first place. Now, I probably sound a little bit peeved as I recount all this to you. The reason I sound annoyed, and I am, is that not everyone in the LGBTQIA+ community survived the debate about marriage equality. We didn't need to have a debate about awarding a basic human right to a section of the community, and that unnecessary debate did people harm. And here's another way in which a referendum is different from a plebiscite. With a referendum, we have to have the debate. It's required in order to change the Constitution. Now, I will go into detail about why protecting the voice in the Constitution is necessary in a later episode. But for now, the debate we are having about recognising First Nations people in the Constitution is unavoidable, and it is doing people harm, and they have no choice but to endure it in order to get the outcome they're asking for. And if nothing else, that is a measure of how important this is. I know I said at the start of the episode that holding a referendum shouldn't be a big deal, and it shouldn't. The Constitution is a living document, and amending it shouldn't be a big deal. But it is important. Changing the Constitution should transcend the politicians and political parties of the day. A constitutional amendment will live on in the Constitution for decades, if not centuries to come, long after the people who argued for it or argued against it have left office. We shouldn't be afraid of changing the Constitution. So I want to swing back around and look at what it means for you as a voter voting in the referendum, especially as we have at least two generations, the millennials and Zoomers, who've never done it before, and three generations, Gen X, baby boomers, and the silent generation, for whom it's been quite some time since they voted in one. Depending on the question that's being asked in the referendum, the yes and no cases don't usually split down party or government and opposition lines. Previous referendum questions have had support from both sides of politics, notably the 1967 referendum, where Australians voted to remove parts of the Constitution that discriminated against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. For this reason, support for or opposition to a question can be complicated. In the 1999 Republic referendum, the question was framed in such a way that if you voted yes to become a republic, then you were also agreeing to a particular model of a republic. And that meant that the people who voted no were a mix of those who didn't want to become a republic and who wanted to maintain the Queen as our head of state, and those who wanted to become a republic but didn't want the particular model we were being offered. And you'll see in this current referendum, those who don't want to recognise First Nations people in the Constitution and don't want a First Nations voice to Parliament protected in the Constitution for reasons that can only be described as racist, and those who don't feel that the voice is the correct solution and are holding out for what they feel will be a better solution for First Nations recognition and sovereignty, these two groups arguably sit on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're both arguing for no. The problem with a referendum question is that it's binary. You vote yes or you vote no. And your reasons for voting one way or the other in the end don't really matter. It's yes or no to changing the Constitution. You either vote for change or you vote for the status quo. And this is a really important point. Regardless of what the referendum question is, the purpose of it is, do we change the Constitution, yes or no? If you've paid any attention to the coverage of the Voice referendum so far, you've probably heard commentary around there not being enough detail of how the Voice would work or what powers it will have or how representatives will be selected. The thing is, none of that is part of the question that we're going to be asked. A well-designed referendum should be a simple, straightforward question. And once that question is answered, then we work out the details. The best analogy I can come up with is going out to dinner. If a friend asks you if you'd like to go out to dinner, they're looking for a simple yes or no response. If you say no, then you don't go out to dinner. You stay at home in your PJs and you watch Netflix. Where you are going to have dinner, what you are going to eat, becomes irrelevant if you say no. But if you say yes to going out to dinner, then you work out where you're going, what you're going to eat, what wine you'll have, whether or not you'll have dessert, all that stuff. But you have to decide whether or not you're going out to dinner first. Where my analogy breaks down is that if you say no to going out to dinner tonight, then you always have the option to go out to dinner another night. Tonight may just be no good. You could be tired. You could have leftovers you need to finish off. You could have work or school the next day. But what if saying no to dinner tonight means that you'll never go out to dinner? That this is the only opportunity you have to say yes to going out to dinner. How would that change your answer? Maybe going out to dinner tonight isn't ideal, but you know that staying home in your PJs, eating leftovers and watching Netflix is no longer working for you. And look, you may not like the dinner that you end up having. The restaurant could be noisy, dessert could be subpar, the wine could be dry. But when you get home that night and put your PJs back on, you can look back on the night and tell yourself, well, at least I put adult clothes on and I left the house and I tried something new. I did something different. And next time I go out to dinner, I might choose a different wine. But at the very least, you changed your routine. Because in the end, that's the challenge of a referendum. Do we change the country or do we maintain the status quo? And the question you have to ask yourself is this: is the status quo working? Is Australia's constitution so perfect that we don't need to change it? Spoiler alert, it's not. And I'll explain why in a future episode. But for now, I'll leave you with the question that you will be asked on October 14th, with the details that will be inserted into the constitution if the referendum passes. The question that will be put to voters is whether to alter the constitution to recognise the First Peoples of Australia by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. The Parliament of Australia has agreed to propose adding a new chapter, Chapter 9, Recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander People, to the constitution. The chapter would include a new section, 129, which would be as follows. 129, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. In recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the First Peoples of Australia, there shall be a body to be called the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. The Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice may make representations to the Parliament and the executive government of the Commonwealth on matters relating to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. The Parliament shall, subject to this constitution, have power to make laws with respect to matters pertaining to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice, including its composition, functions, powers, and procedures. And that's it. If we vote yes, we'll insert this into the constitution, and the Parliament will decide how the voice works and will legislate to bring it into existence. When you receive a ballot paper at the referendum, you should write yes if you agree with this proposed change to the constitution, or you should write no if you don't agree. The Australian Democrats have been very transparent about our support for the Uluru Statement from the Heart, and we've been campaigning for yes. As an Australian Democrat, as a vice president of the Australian Democrats, as your podcast host, and as a fellow citizen, I urge you to vote yes. As my fellow Vice President Graeme Elder has said, this is a small step, a non-threatening step, a step that does not interfere with other discussions, and a step that over time may bring us closer. Keep the Bastards Honest is brought to you by the Australian Democrats. This episode was edited and produced by me, Alana Mitchell. If you'd like to keep in touch, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spoutable, and Threads by searching for Australian Democrats. And you can see what we stand for, what we value, and what our policy positions are at our website at democrats.org.au. Until next time, thanks for listening.